Well, we're in a series titled God's Word Is, and there's nothing more important that I can say as your pastor than this. God's Word is all you need. Yeah, it's not going to fix your tire. It's not going to help you cook a meal, but it's going to give you what you need inside so you can live your life for Christ. Part one, we looked at the Word of God. It reveals God. This reveals God. If you want to know what God, who God is, this is where you find out. My question to you was this: what is your view of God? Is he distant? Is he uncaring? Is he critical? Is he too busy? Because your answer will reveal what's below the surface in your life. What I believe about God directly impacts how I live my life. Right? If we believe that God is uncaring, we're going to live our life that way. God can be found if we search for him with all of our hearts. How do you search for God? How do we do that? Well, it's through his written word, the Word of God. Part two, we talked about God's word is revelation. And that was last week, and I told you the story of being blindfolded on my birthday and duct taped behind my back and kidnapped to celebrate my birthday, which I didn't know at the time, and I was very concerned and didn't know what these five men were going to do to me at church. And one of them was a Pittsburgh Steeler, former Steeler. I put up a good fight, and I got some rug burns, but they did kidnap me to a restaurant to celebrate my birthday. But I didn't like that feeling of being blindfolded, of being bound, and not knowing where I was going to be. Scripture talks of revelation as knowledge that was formerly hidden, but is now revealed, declared by God through his word and through his spirit. Revelation is to show us something we didn't know or see before. And the full revelation of this mystery has been revealed with the coming of Jesus into the world. We just celebrated Christmas and remembering his birthday and what that means. God has revealed himself not only through revelation of God's very word, but also through creation throughout history and the human conscience. You see a sunset, you see a sunrise, you see majesty, and you just know that there's a God in heaven. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." The Bible is not just a revelation from God. It's also a revelation of God by God. God's revelation goes way, way, way beyond our understanding. Instead of this just being an old, ancient manuscript, right, I want you to see that God's word is his very revelation. So what I do with God's revelation will either keep me in the dark or will open my eyes. What I do with this, God's revelation, will keep me in the dark or open my eyes. It was Moses who wrote in Deuteronomy 29:29, "Some things are hidden. They belong to the Lord our God, but the things that have been revealed in these teachings belong to us and to our children forever. We must obey every word of these teachings." See, God is asking that we obey every word to what he's revealed. God's revelation unveils the truth so that we can see and we can know him. Sometimes I find myself drawn to things that inspire me. A song that lifted my spirit when I was down, or a worship song on my playlist, and I crank it because I just feel the presence of God with me. A picture that captured a sense of awe and wonder or meaning, right? This picture is hanging in my office of a massive crashing wave, and it's surrounding a lighthouse, and there's someone standing safely in the doorway. And that picture inspires me and reminds me that God has got me. No matter what is going on around me, I'm safe in God's care. A true story movie of tragedy or loss and how they overcame those obstacles and how their story stirred emotions in me. While we were in Nashville on vacation a few summers ago, we saw the home of our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, right? He served as president from 1829 to 1837. And as a major general in the War of 1812, Andrew Jackson became a national hero when he defeated the British at New Orleans. Adored and hated, right? Andrew Jackson was an orphan who fought his way to the very pinnacle of power, the presidency. And as we turned toward his home and the grounds, right, I realized I didn't know anything about this president. I didn't know anything at all, which inspired me to find out more about him. I'm drawn to things that inspire me. I think that's probably the case with you. You're drawn to things in life that inspire you. Like me, it could be a song, it could be a movie, a book that was meaningful, that touched you, something in nature, or maybe it was a person that you know, or a person in history. I mean, it could literally be anything that inspires you. I'm not going to sing the song. What is the song? You're My Inspiration. I'm not going to sing it for you today, but something that inspires us, something that moves us emotionally or intellectually, right? There's a stirring inside that inspires us to do, and we fill in the blank, right? A moving inside that inspires us to be, and we fill in the blank for you. We've begun a new year, and January is almost over. Isn't that crazy? And just so you know, it's been 1 year. I'm your pastor for 1 year. Isn't that crazy? Does time fly? Some of you didn't clap. I'm taking notes. I'm just teasing. I read this recently. You know, we with the new year, New Year's resolutions have begun. So this is, I thought this was funny. My goal for 2024 is to accomplish the goals of 2023, which I should have done in 2022, because I made a promise in 2021 and plan to do in 2020. But usually at the beginning of a new year, you know, we're inspired to make new goals or resolutions. We're inspired to, you know, actually reach them, right? Gym memberships go way up in the first couple of weeks and they're full and you can't get a space. And then all of a sudden they start to dwindle, and you know, January 22nd, nobody's there. But maybe we're inspired to read more. You know, subtitles on the TV don't count, Dwayne, okay? We're inspired maybe to lose some weight or to eat healthier. We're inspired to move to Florida, right, because of the cold, snowy weather. Maybe we're inspired to travel and to see God's beautiful country, creation. Maybe we'll get inspired to learn a new hobby or a new skill. You know, this year, you know, I'm gonna learn how to crochet. Not me, maybe you. Get that picture in your head. Okay. Maybe we're inspired to reach out to family and friends and be more connected to them besides just Facebook or just Instagram. Maybe we're inspired to make some radical changes in our lives. We could even be inspired to grow in our faith this year, to be inspired to know God more by spending some real quality time in His presence, by reading His Word and by praying. Maybe we're inspired to read God's Word all the way through in a year. Maybe we're inspired to be part of a small group growing alongside others. Or maybe we're inspired to conquer an addiction, a harmful habit, a bad attitude, or negative thinking. There are many motivations that inspire us to be someone we want or need to become, or motivations that inspire us to do something we want or need to do. Sometimes we just need to be inspired, inspiration. And the title of my message simply, God's Word is Inspiration. Inspiration. You see, where God's Word is revelation, it unveils the truth. God's Word is inspiration in communicating the truth. The doctrine of inspiration of Scripture is verbal, right? That God has influenced each word of Scripture, even though the authors use their own style of writing, their own personality, but God controlled the wording, and it's complete, right? Extending to all of Scriptures, not just parts of it. Sometimes people like to say, well, I like this part, but this part over here I don't like. Everything is inspired from cover to cover. Inspiration is the action of God by His Holy Spirit through human writers, authors, who use, again, their own vocabulary, their own style of writing, but they were guided by the Holy Spirit. You see, only the Bible has been written by the direct inspiration of God. You see, the doctrine of inspiration of Scripture has been under attack by Satan, right? Even back in the garden. Did God really say? Did God really say? And it's still under attack today. It's still under attack. Do we know this book? Do we know what it says? But if you stop and think about it, it's just unthinkable that God would give His people a book they couldn't trust. Unthinkable that God would give His people a book they couldn't trust. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to a young pastor named Timothy, he spoke about the inspiration of God in 2 Timothy 3. He said this, "But you, Timothy, must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." And we know earlier it was Timothy's mother and his grandmother that taught him these things. "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood." Can we stop here and say what matters down below right now in preschool and in our elementary age kids? It matters. It's just as important what's happening up here. Our kids matter. We need to teach them the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have been given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. And then this verse we all know, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. What does it do? It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Verse 17, God uses it, the Bible, the Scriptures, to prepare and to equip His people to do every good work. The word holy Scripture in verse 15, means consecrated for sacred use, set apart. Meaning the Bible is different from every other book ever written and set apart by God for a special holy use. Paul explains to Timothy that Scripture leads us to salvation in that we aren't saved by believing this book. We're not saved by believing this book, but by trusting in Christ who is revealed in this book. Case in point, Satan knows this book. He knows this book, but he is no Christ follower. The Greek word for inspired here is theopneustos, right? It's generally translated given by inspiration of God. And it's also a compound word that literally means God breathed. I love that. God breathed. This book is literally in its entirety God breathed. It's inspired by God. And what is meant by inspiration is that biblical inspiration is the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit on the Bible's authors, which guaranteed that what they wrote was accurate and reliable. It's more than just saying something like, you know, Shakespeare was an inspired writer. It's so much more than that. God oversaw the arrangement of Scripture, guiding the authors to write exactly what He wanted them to write without errors. The Holy Spirit used men of God to write the Word of God. The natural characteristics of the authors, you know, they weren't ignored. God prepared the writers for the very task of writing the scriptures, and each book of the Bible came out of certain circumstances. In God preparing the authors and guiding history and working through His Holy Spirit, God brought the miracle of this book, the best-selling book of all time. The Bible is God's word in human language. Whatever the Bible says about itself, God or life or death or history or science and every other subject, it's true. It will be a true teaching if the teaching agrees with the Word of God. We can trust that every word in the Bible, it's truly God's breathed words to us. I love this aspect of God, that our God is different in that He speaks. He communicates. And as you read the Old Testament, you'll see phrases like, "The Lord says," or "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says." He has worked supernaturally through the Holy Spirit to perfectly communicate to us all of Scripture, the Word of God. And when we read the Bible, when we take a moment at some time and we open this book, we are reading the very words of the living God. The Apostle Peter, nearing the end of his life, he wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 1. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Those verses are foundational, same as 2 Timothy. You see, the Old Testament prophets can be trusted because they didn't write what they wanted to write, what they felt the people should hear with their own knowledge, you know, as many false prophets did back then. The prophets wrote down what God spoke to them, moved by the Holy Spirit. Even back in the Old Testament days, the Greek word for carried along was commonly used with the sailing of ships. The sailors would put up sails and the wind carried the ships along, right? So that's what the Old Testament prophets did when they opened their mouths. The Holy Spirit guided their thoughts, guided their words. Even Jesus' use of the Old Testament show the scriptures were given by God and they are true. For example, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 61, telling the people that this scripture is fulfilled in their hearing, which was hundreds of years before. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus reminds them that he hasn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. "Heaven and earth will disappear," Jesus said, "but not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until it's been achieved." Jesus, in praying to God for his disciples, said in this, John 17:17, "Use the truth to make them whole." He's talking about his disciples. And then Jesus said these four words. He prayed these words, "Your words are true." God the Father's words are truth. God's word is inspiration in communicating the truth. Not just revelation, not just the word of God that reveals God, but it's inspiration. And when you open the word of God, let it inspire you. When you open the word of God, let it inspire you. You know, with GPS on our phones, it's a wonderful tool to help navigate directions as well as avoid traffic jams. I know how to get to Morris, but I always punch a GPS in because I know maybe there's an accident and it'll detour and get me there quicker. But remember the day when you had to print out your directions and the printer ink industry was sky high, right? If you wanted to know where to get, you had to print directions, especially if someplace you'd never been before. You know, you got to turn left here in 0.3 miles, and remember that. If needing directions to find your way to someplace you've never been before is helpful, how much more to find your way to God and His Word to give you directions for your life? This is wonderful to help us to find our place if we're going someplace new. And we need that. But how much more this will help you find where you need to go in your life. Finding your destination is great, but finding your destiny in eternity, well, it doesn't compare. If all of Scripture is inspired by God, then all of Scripture is used to teach you to know what is right, to teach you to know what is wrong, to teach you to teach you how to get right, and to teach you how to stay right. Scripture is inspired and useful so that you can be complete, equipped for every good work that God has planned for your life. And God has planned things for your life. Everything that you need to be, what God wants you to be, is already in the Bible. Are there other good books that we can read and learn more about God? Yes, of course. God's gifted some great authors throughout history that we can read and understand more. But this book can't be replaced. Everything that you need to be, what God wants you to be, is in here. My question is, do you believe that? But growing in Christ doesn't happen automatically after you've given your life to Him. It's not automatic. And as your pastor, I'm asking that you commit to three things regarding God's Word. Number one, commit to Sunday mornings. Sundays are the day that we gather as a large group, come together to worship and to pray one for another, to encourage and strengthen each other, to be in fellowship with one another, and to hear God's Word. It's also for drinking coffee and eating donuts, right? But let's come expecting God to move. At Peace Chapel, sometimes I'm guilty. Sometimes we get in a rut. Sometimes we just kind of do what we've always done. God, help us. Help us. Let's, God, do something today. Do something in me. We've said it many times, right? Revival, you just draw a circle on your set. God, start with me. So commit to Sunday mornings. Let's pray for Peace Chapel. Commit to Sunday mornings. Number two is commit to a small group. Move out from the rows, good, but move into circles, better, right? Commit to grow alongside others, to study God's Word together, right? To encourage each other as well as pray for each other. The Sunday morning small group, you know, is going through the book of Matthew. Next week, they're going to start another book of the Bible. The men's group on Wednesday nights is going through the book of Acts. The women's small groups on Wednesday nights and Thursday mornings are going through the Bible in the Bible Engagement Project. So we're surrounding ourselves with this book. It's not my opinions that matter. It's not your opinions that matter. It's God's Word that matters. It will help you how to grow, make a stronger marriage, your finances, your health, your heart, your calling, all that's in here. God wants to do something. And sometimes we need others around us. Even the youth and the children are going through God's Word in the Bible Engagement Project. So I want to encourage you to commit to a small group, if at all possible, to grow alongside others. We need each other. And the third thing, Sunday small groups, third thing is to commit to serving. What gifts for the church has God given you? The Word of God tells us that God has given us gifts. They can be found in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, right? If you don't know what your gifts are, I have a spiritual gift survey that will help you. So see me afterwards. I'd love to get that in your hands. Are you serving the church with those gifts? Some gifts are on the platform. Some gifts are with an instrument or a voice. Some gifts are behind the scenes helping us see the screens. Some of the, you know, maybe you're serving downstairs with our kids, or maybe you're a leader with our youth, or maybe you're doing security, all kinds of ways that we can serve the church, God's kingdom. Peace Chapel needs your gifts to help us all grow closer to Jesus. So my encouragement is to commit to serving. I know that we get sick and there's harsh weather and we're out of town and random things happen, and I get that. And we can't make it, you know, on a Sunday or something. I know we're all busy at times with life, and it might be challenging to commit to a small group. And so many of you serve in a ministry, sometimes two or three ministries. But we're better together. We're better together. You know, I like to watch football. But, you know, when I was younger, more fun to play it. More fun to just not watch it, get out and play it. And that's what we're called to do. Let's not be bystanders. Let's jump in. God's word is inspiration. When we got home from vacation in Nashville, since I like history, I went to the library and checked out a book called American Lion by John Meacham, and I read all 512 pages about President Andrew Jackson. Being inspired to learn more about him, the book gave me insight into who he was, the good, the bad, and the ugly of his life. You see, since all scripture is God-breathed, it's an amazing thought that when we read the Bible, when we open the scriptures, right, alone in our prayer closet or on a Sunday morning or in a small group, we are reading the very breath of God. That's a thought right there. That's an amen. I don't know, but we're reading the breath of God. These words on these pages are the very breath of God, and that's the reason I said 2 weeks ago, the greatest thing I can tell you as your pastor is God's word is all you need. God's word will be a light unto your path. You don't know what to do. God's word will help you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And as you read his word, God will speak to you. He'll speak to your situation. He'll give you insight and knowledge and wisdom to make the choices that you need. He knows you, and he wants you to know him. Maybe we've gotten out of the habit of reading the word. Maybe we've got questions about certain parts of the Bible. Maybe our perception of God's word has been negative because of some terrible past experience that we were taught incorrectly, or maybe the Bible was jammed into our head or something. Maybe, you know, I'm asking the question, do we approach scripture too casually? Are we so busy that we don't take the time to read the words that God breathed to us? I'm not talking about reading the Bible out of legalism or checking off a to-do list, but asking God to give us a fresh desire to be inspired by his inspired word. His word is already inspired. His word is already anointed, right? If it's you and me that needs a fresh desire for God to open our hearts to hear what he's saying to us, what is God saying to you? What has God been saying to you this week? Have you spent time with him in his presence? Imagine what would happen in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our church, in our communities, if we lived out the very God-breathed words of the Lord. What would happen? Can I challenge us this morning to spend time, to make time to be with God by reading the breath of God? The Bible app. A Bible reading plan, listening to it audibly, reading it alone in your prayer closet. Ask God to reveal himself to you as you read. You think God hears those kind of prayers? I think he does, right? The challenge for me and for all of us, I believe, is to have a posture of growing, a posture of learning, a desire for more of God. Again, it's not Pastor Spence says, I got to read every day. I got to read. It's more than that. God, give me the desire. Speak to me through this book. Speak to me, God. The truth is, we will never outgrow the Word of God. Never. There's more that He will show you. There is more that He will reveal to you. But seek Him.